recorded. At this time, I'd like to remind all parties that today's conference is being recorded, and if you have any objections, to please disconnect at this time. If you'd like to minimize any background noise during today's call, you may press star 6 to mute and unmute your phone if you do not have a mute button on your own phone. And if you need any assistance during today's call, I will be monitoring the call, and you may just ask for the operator assistance.
Thank you. Marika, quick roll call?
Yes, please.
Good morning, very morning to some, and good evening to others. On today's call, we have Cheryl Langdonor, Jonna Soininen, Sabaya. From staff, we have Marika Konings, Liz Gaster, Ken Bauer, Glenda Saint-Géry, and myself, Gisela Gruber-White. Apologies, we have Avery Doria, J. Scott Evans, and I believe we have Ilya Bazyankov, who will only be on Adobe Connect today. And if I could just remind you, please, all to say your names for transcript purposes. Thank you. Over to you, Marika.
Thank you. So this is Marika. I pulled up on the Adobe Connect where we basically left off last time. I think J. Scott indicated in the last meeting that he wanted to take some time on this meeting to go into the decision-making model. And I would like to ask those on the call, we can have a first exchange of views on that, but I think this is quite a big issue that probably needs a wider than this discussion than only on the email. So whether we already want to discuss this now or leave it for what it is, because this will come back as well, of course, in the working group guidelines and just move on to the other parts of the charter guidelines. Is there a preference?
As long as there's enough to do, beyond the decision making stuff, we can skip that and go to the next bit. If that's okay with me, as long as there's work to do.
Well, considering that we're likely to need to try the language that, at least for the recording, will be transcripted into English, Cheryl. Go back over some of the things we do anyway. Let's just get into the edits.
Okay, so I just propose that we first finish the rest of the documents, and if we have time left, we can go back to the beginning to look at some of the changes that have been made based on the discussions that we had in previous meetings. So if we then move on to section 2.4.2, status reporting, Avery has made a comment here that the charter organization may have a standard on this that can be included by reference. I presume we can include that language in there as status. Are there any other views or opinions on this section?
Fine by me, Cheryl.
Yeah, this, Jonna, that's fine by me.
It's okay with me, Sabaya.
So I'll include that. And we have section 2.4.3, which relates to problem issue escalation and resolution processes. What we've done here is we've adapted the model that's being used by the IETF. We've mentioned here again illustrative example, but here again the group might want to consider having a standard that applies, which then of course would also be taken on board in the working group guidelines, and do the same thing as with the decision-making models to say this is the standard. The chartering organization has the possibility to deviate from that, but if not, this is what will apply. So probably have two different questions here. Should we take the same approach here? And then the second question would be, is the approach that we've developed here on the basis of what the IETF does, would that work as well in the GNSO working group model?
So this, Jonna, the first question, I think, yes, we should have definitely a standard, and only in the kind of like in very special cases there is a deviation from that. Because this is a very important process for the integrity of a working group model. that the kind of like there's a clear definition of how kind of like which are taking into account and how they are driven. So that's at least my comment. But my comment is actually already there, so it's nothing new to you. Maybe I should say something about the second one. I'm like the on modeling it up to IETF, I think it's just fine. We just have to make sure that it suits our purposes, because the IETF model is very particular in a way that there are these directors and area directors, and there's the IAD and so on. So there are multiple layers on top of the working group where this appeal can go. And so we should look at that it's just it's compatible with what we have at kind of vice versa to the chartering organization and so on.
And this is what we've tried to do. If you look at the language, we've tried indeed to include where appropriate, like working group liaison or chartering organization. So we've tried to put in the terms where indeed the IETF had their own language and tried to adapt it to the ICANN way. So I think it's definitely important to do that.
Yeah, this is Subhaya. I am also, all for having a very basically a standard that really shouldn't be changed in any case. It's the standard that everybody can look to, best if it's, even ICANN-wide if possible, but certainly across GNSO-wide, a standard. But so that's I'm okay for that, that's the strict standard. The question I have is regarding this illustrative example, is this already, just so that to summarize, is this already reflecting the IETF language as best as possible?
I don't know if as best as possible, but it's basically the language as IETF uses. I think
okay, that's fine.
The
that, that, that's
made is the why they had area director. We probably changed it to.
Yeah, correct. Right. No, I'm just saying that this is what you one any someone who goes through the IETF stuff and says, look, I want to make this be like fit it into the ICANN situation, and to the best of their ability draft something. This would be the recommended thing, correct? That's all I want to know. And if that's the case, then I can just read it. Okay, good.
Okay, good. So that was the attempt.
Okay, good. So I'm just going to now, personally, I'm just going to, I haven't read it yet, so I'll read it now, and just if I see anything, I'll let you know. But I just want to know what I need to do, that's all.
And again, I think this will come back as well when we look at the working group guidelines, because I think this is language that will be inserted there as well, and the working group guidelines will, of course, be the authoritative place where this language resides. So I think this is another area, together with the decision-making mechanism, that probably needs some further discussion and review by the broader group. So I think it's going to be, if there are any other points that people want to share, but I think this definitely will come back in further discussions.
Yeah, so Vision, I just reread the part there, and that was why I didn't comment it. I think that the language on the escalation or problem issue escalation and resolution process is fairly standard and fairly straightforward. You first complain to the working group chair, and if the working group chair doesn't listen to you, you complain to the next guy, and if she or he doesn't listen to you, you complain above, and that. It's quite clear.
Okay. I think I just read that, and it seems clear now. The only thing I didn't catch is that both types of disagreements will be handled by the same process. Okay, good. I get it. And by liaison, we definitely mean the liaison to the chartering organization, correct?
Correct.
Correct, and not any other liaison. Okay, good. As long as that's been reflected there, then we're okay. I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I mean, like, this is your maybe we should think about at some point about this kind of naming it liaison when you're actually kind of like that's the person who's responsible for the working group from the chartering organization. Of course, it's in a way a liaison, but it gives a kind of like it can be misunderstood in the when reading from here, because most probably the working group has multiple, can, or the working group can have multiple liaisons to different directions. So at least...
Cheryl here. I thought we agreed in a previous meeting, two back, that, sorry, I get sneezed, that, phew, I do apologise, that we were going to, thank you so much, that we were going to ensure a standard nomenclature as well as a glossary on that point. So as long as the standardisation also includes the terminology used for this particular liaison, as opposed to, you know, I think I made the comment that, you know, just don't use the term CLO because I think of that as my common law trademark.
And this is Marika. I think an easy way to change it here is instead of working group liaison, we change it to charting organization liaison. And I just missed back that as well, the language we decided to use in, I think, the description of the different roles. So, so I'll change that in the next version.
Marika, just don't put CLO in brackets.
Sorry?
Just don't put CLO in brackets. That's all, charming.
No, I won't.
You can have a COL, but not a CLO.
I'll make it a COL then. And I'll then as well change the introduction language to reflect a bit more as well what we've discussed on the decision-making model, that it would be a, you know, a standard language that is referenced then in the working group guidelines. But if the chartering organization wants to insert something different, this is the place to do it. Okay, so if we then move on.
Just one question, actually. This is more to the process of what we are doing here. I mean, are we an official working group meeting now? So can we just change things, or do we have to insert them as comments or something like that that the others notice now that the chair is missing?
Well, I think we can still make edits and comments because this will, you know, again, go out to the group so everyone will have an opportunity to review and raise it at the next meeting. At least that would be my my approach. I don't know if anyone
disagrees. Well, that's certainly how Sibaya started, and when I pointed out we would need to be going over or re-going over some of these things at a future fuller meeting. I think we're all in agreement there.
But Gisela, what you could do for us is, if indeed later on there are some, you know, changes from what we as a group here have decided might be okay, just flag it for us, and then, you know, we you know, those who made the comments in this call, it'll be flagged for us, and then we'll be, you know, alerted to think about it in the future.
Okay. So if we then move on to section 2.4.4, closure and team self-assessment. Are there any comments on that one? There are none in the document as is.
Nope.
Nope, it's fine.
We have 2.5, working group history. This section should record key dates in the working group's history with relevant links, example decisions to form working group background documents. There's some comments already in there, one from Avery, saying essentially recording of any and all changes made to the charter as well as deliveries and milestones. And Joanna, you commented perhaps all the changes to the working group should be recorded here, including people changes like chair, vice chair, etc.
Yeah, that was, this is from Joanna, this my comment was more of a suggestion, just that. So that somehow the history of the working group, including the people that have been in charge, would be a nice thing. I don't know if it's really a very important issue, but the kind of like the essential changes to deliveries and milestones are the most important ones.
And this is Marika, because I have a question on that. So, This would be a section if there would be changes made to the charter over time that would have to be approved by the chartering organization. Chartering organization, this is the place where they would be recorded. That is the idea behind it. Because it's mentioned here, the key dates, what is mentioned in the first description is more the steps that have led up to the creation of the working group. So it's more links that might be of use for the working group to review when they have been formed. I think what Avery is referring to and John is referring to is more changes that are being made during the course of a working group already being in existence and already having a charter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, like, this is the question of when the working group becomes a working group. So I think that Avery and I, having the same kind of history with IETF, is basically that have the view that a working group is not a working group until it's chartered. And when it's chartered, then, I'm like, those changes that were before that working group was chartered, those are not changes because it wasn't chartered yet. But when it's chartered after that, those are significant the changes that come after that, which are mostly changes on dates and times that happen. But sometimes also that the direction of the working group might change during its course because either some path has been found to be illogical or and it's steered towards another direction or something like that. And those should at least be visible.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. This is Subaya. But I have another point to make here, actually. I'm sure the effort is made, but I think we should make it a visible statement, if possible, to say that all these changes, when there's a working group that exists and we record everything they do, and then if there are any changes within the working group, we record it as well. All of this should be archived more or less, you know, sort of for eternity and easily available. The reason is because given, you know, the last 10 years of attending ICANN, you know, I can tell you that there's some issues in which we have, just non-ending working groups. I mean, or the equivalent of working groups. For example, the IDN issue. We've got about 10 committees now revisiting the same things over 10 years, and they come reach different conclusions each time. And if one wants to hark back to history and said, you know, that committee said this, whereas this committee said the exact opposite, you know, there should be a way in which there could be institutional memory where, you know, when this is recorded, not only is it recorded for a long time, which I think the intention is, but not just buried away somewhere, but rather, you know, linked in groups. If there's been a few different who is committees or whatever, then they should all be sort of together somewhere so that someone later can, you know, actually make some statements and it's not just, you know, I've been here forever and, you know, long, long ago there was a committee that did this and people say, who's that? What's that? I don't know. I think you get my drift.
This is Maria. I think it's probably a separate effort that's going on now as well to reorganize the GNSO website, which will hopefully as well bring a bit more order and enable us to bring, you know, relevant groups together in one section so people can see that, because I'm not really sure whether that's, you know, something that will be or could be even be included in the charter.
I understand, but the first part is the statement that, you know, that even the what the working group does, right, and it's archived, should be archived for some length of time, not just a year or two and it disappears, you know, but for a long time. I mean, because that's what on the time scale of this institution.
This is Ken. Can I jump in?
Go ahead, Ken.
Thank you. Just want to remind us that we're in the part of the charter drafting guidelines, which is the template of the charter document. And I would suggest to us that the Section 2.5 here probably should be retitled. Instead of being Working Group History, which might very well be an important document that might get referenced in the next set of guidelines we're going to talk about, which is the Operating Model Guidelines, for the Charter, I would suggest that this ought to just refer to changes to the Charter document itself. And it would. We've been using a little template on the staff here for a while that basically puts the date, who made the change, what the change was, and what version we're now on. Something along those lines is what I'm thinking that this should probably refer to. And so unless something in the charter itself was changed, it wouldn't appear in working group history here. I mean, I think that's the wrong title, in my opinion.
Yeah, this is Marika, and I think we probably don't need two boxes because I do see a value as well in having, recorded in the charter, you know, the relevant links to for example, issues reports or background reports, as well as some of the expected milestones, what are those, and then indeed having a separate box that would record any changes that might occur over time to the charter. So maybe that would be a way of capturing everything that's in one box now.
Marika, Cheryl here, and I do get a little bit passionate about version control and document nomenclature, and it's something that not only this part of ICANN, the GNSO, need desperately, but it needs to be across the whole of ICANN, because what's been said in today's call is absolutely true. I would argue with you on that, Marika, and suggest that this particular document needs to be a little bit more pure, but what it needs to have attached in a standard manner is a schedule of those events. And therefore, there is always on this charter document a Schedule A, History of Working Group, or whatever you want to call it, and that paper, Schedule A, X, Y, Z, doesn't matter, may very well say no substantive changes occurred to, and here is the timeline, all dates met, see report, following links. Or it might have a 10-year history. Heaven forbid.
That is something you would include in the charter?
I wouldn't include it. You were saying you need two boxes. I'm saying I wouldn't include it at this point in this document other than to refer to a standard schedule, which is always to be attached to this document, which is the history. I'm not saying don't include it. I'm saying how to include it, where to include it, and in what standardised format.
Then I have another question. So then are we talking actually about three different elements that we would like to see? So one element is just, you know, the history, the background documents, potential timelines that are included. One is if there are any changes that are actually made to the charter itself. And then another part, which is what has the group actually done and how can you indeed find that information of what they've been doing and when they've been meeting and where are their documents and things like that.
Well, I wouldn't call those three separate, but yeah, they're integrated parts, two integrated parts, because when you started to talk about links to issues, reports, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, I see all of that as schedules or appendixes to a standardised document.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree, but for charter purposes, of course, that's the only information the group has at that point. I agree that once you go further, you have, of course, much more information that you want to document and report.
That's right, So all that has to happen here is the reference to where that information, if and when it occurs, is going to be found and how it gets married to this standardised template.
This is Ken. I'm confused. I'll just use our working group as an example. We have a charter document that put us into motion to accomplish certain goals. And we have done a lot of work, and we have all kinds of wikis, and we have reference documents and all things in different draft stages. None of that got appended to our charter. Should it have been? Is that what we're advocating here?
I'm saying that in the charter it should have a reference to C, schedule, appendix, don't care about the nomenclature, but a standard nomenclature, blah, for the activities of this group. And that very firm, very non-negotiable tie to the rest of the data set, wherever it's held in the world of ICANN, should be part of this document.
And this is Marika. What we've done in some of the other PDP working groups, for example, is to include in the working group guidelines already the reference to the mailing list or in the charter to the mailing list and to the working group wiki. And that, I guess, is already a way of documenting that in the charter where people can go to find what is being done in that working group and what discussions have been held. So, that, I guess, is a way as well to do that.
Yeah, and a way is fine, but this templatised charter needs to define the way that from now on it will happen.
Yeah, exactly. This, John, and I like this similar then drawing analogy again to the IETF, that, for instance, the IETF charter has to be pointed to the working group mailing list and to any additional input there is to the working group, and the documents that are currently under process and the documents that have been finalized by the working group.
So this is Subhaya. May I say that that's fine. So what we have is a line in there that says in the charter document here that any changes, the history of getting to here, relevant documents, and any future changes to this document are in, you know, trapped in Schedule A. Now, over and above that, if we could also have a sentence to say, that has to be done. I mean, there's no such thing as that not being done. You know, I mean, it's not just saying this document is in this document, this is the related stuff out there. But rather, another statement to say, you know, it's a necessity. You have to do this, and also any working groups that you charter down from underneath you, they have to do the same thing, or something along those lines. Here's where you can read about this stuff. But no. Here's where you can read about this stuff, and this is always done, you know, as a statement to that extent. Because at the end of the day, this is the chartering document, correct? This is the one that creates
that
kind of thing. Right.
Yep. That's certainly how I would view it, Subhaya, because it's all very nice putting mailing list links and wiki links in, but, you know, technology changes. And that has to be a forced archive.
And the reason why I feel firmly about this, this idea of the history, is simply because I've been on so many IDN committees over the years, where I go to an IDN committee and there are people on the committee who have, you know, joined ICANN in recent years, I guess. And there's some documents to read and so on, but the documents only go back to a year ago or something, some related documents. And then some of us, like me or Chuck Gomes or somebody who's been here, you know, I think Chuck's been for every ICANN meeting, I think, is the only one. I think he's been to every single one, even the pre-ICANN meeting. We are on the committee and we say, you know what, has anybody read the committee report from 8 years ago or 7 years ago on the same thing? And everybody says, what committee? ICANN staff say, what committee? You know,
exactly.
You know, and this is someone who's been given an award by the board. You know, that committee had a name to it, and somebody was given an award.
But the thing is, that is not part of a charter as such.
Oh, I understand.
But what can be part of the charter is the fact that links like that have to occur somewhere.
Right. I mean, it's just that it's not so much that we can do it or not achieve it, but the culture of doing so. That's what I'm more, you know, concerned about. I mean, we'll never be able to do it in a good way, but at least it's there that says, you know, there's an idea that is important.
Ken, can I ask, are you less confused or more confused?
I'm still confused, but you know what might help me, Cheryl, is if you could apply that, whatever that was just discussion, to our exact charter. What would it look like? What would we do to implement that rule for our own group and our own charter? What would that look like?
Well, in this particular template, it would refer to a schedule, which is a formal part of the charter document, where all of this knowledge base is linked in a standardized and continual way.
In this case, it would be a wiki.
The schedule could be, you know, someone's handwritten version at the Seoul meeting that then becomes, in whatever is the current standard for document storage in ICANN, attached to this charter. And like any other part of any other document management system, if a schedule changes, its version changes. And a note on the master document in schedule whatever or appendix whatever must say, you know, version 2.1, date of, altered to state, blah.
Ken, this is Subhaya. I think we're already in a way to help you here, Ken. I think we are already doing this in many of the documents that, you know, you sent to me previously. There's a box at the end, right, that says this is the version, who changed it, when, and so on. Correct, Ken?
Yep.
Right now there already is one, correct?
Yep.
So that's already there. It's at the end of the document, and it's already there. That's one item. The other item is essentially the concept of any other related, not the changes to the document itself. That's the first box that we just talked about. Then the second one is any related material that we've already talked about, links, you know, other related documents that we've looked at, you know, the board's the board's paper to us to help create this, you know, charter document and so on. Well, that's a related document.
Yes.
So those are all... we've trapped them
now. Sorry, I was just going to say pre-existing work groups. Your IBM example is perfect. Let's assume this example, we are doing yet another IDN PDP. We're having an IDN PDP work group for the G-Space is the example we're running. Then at that schedule or appendix level, a link to all the material and a list of the material if it's not linkable, because some of it isn't actually on the ICANN website in the current state in IDNs. If it is, it's certainly bloody hard to find because it's defied my ability to find it, to prior related committees such as the President's IDN Committee, which, by the way, you can't actually find when it ended. Now, it did end, didn't it, Sabaya?
Yes. It fizzled.
It fizzled is fine. But what I'm saying is it's only our corporate knowledge that tells you and I that that's the case. There should be a document knowledge, a piece of knowledge management tool that also tells the new GNSO, IDN, PDP workgroup that back when Adam was a little boy, this thing existed, here's its records, and here's its references. Oh, and on September 27th, it's closed.
This is Ken. You know, back. This is going back now. I went back to Section 2.1, Working Group Identification, and we wrote material in there. This section of the charter should identify the name, identity of the working group, and any sponsoring motion, as well as links, pointers. Maybe we could just expand that section say, including any historical links.
That might be the place. Outside of just the GNSO, is I think what Sabaya and I are on about.
That would be nice. I mean, we can start with the GNSO, you know, but yeah, that's right. Sorry, what we mean is that it has to go outside of the GNSO in this context. That is that at least within the GNSO, when a working group is being created, we don't just point to GNSO, prior GNSO documents, but possibly prior ICANN-wide documents, meaning that if I'm a GNSO committee working on IDN, then, you know, perhaps I'd like to see an IDN document that the CCNSO or somebody else did some time ago. I mean,
exactly. Okay,
frankly, this is asking a lot in the sense that, you know, I mean, it's asking a lot. However, the important thing is that when a new working group is being charted, somebody in the chartering organization is going to be their job working with an ICANN staff member to create this working group. That person hopefully will read this charter document and realize, in this charter document it says, please go find all the things, you know, that relate to this and update it if it doesn't exist, you know, for the purposes of the working group, right? All the old documents, not only in the group, within GNSO, but perhaps externally. And maybe if there's no there's going to be no automated wonderful archival system. I can't even organize my sock drawer, you know. But the issue is that there is some statement to that effect here, so that people would start doing that more of a culture. And those two the two ways that we just discussed about does address that. I mean, one for the boxes of the changes to the document itself, and then the other one for the history. But I would also like to see a third thing somewhere, you know, an expression of a stronger expression of commitment to do that. You know, I mean, I don't know how to express it. I mean, to say that this is to push the idea that this is important. You know, this is an important part of what we're doing. You know, it's, to me, it's as important as, you know, if you're asking me to join a working group committee, and you know, we're supposed to do some stuff. Well, that's important, but it's almost as important for me to know what the history was. You know, otherwise we're about to repeat it. Right? Correct.
This is Marika. Are you happy for me to have a first go at trying to incorporate what we discussed now, and then I probably will get it wrong, so for you then to review and suggest language that does reflect your views? Is that a way forward?
That would be excellent, Marika, because I think what we're trying to establish here at this point, and it is a pivotal point, is to make sure that time taken at this point in a charter's development will actually, and it is time taken and it is a task to do, will actually save time at the other end of the process. because as we've all seen, when produce of working groups is under review, people spend a huge amount of time going, did you think about, did you know about, did you discuss about? And if that can be clear from the start that those things are accessible, are able to be looked at and should be referenced, then that's going to save a huge amount of time in 3-minute bites at microphones, if nothing else.
You know, just to give you an example, today there's a lot of issue in ICANN-wide about vertical registry-registrar integration. I mean, that's become a hot topic. There are people doing all kinds of things. But if we go back to the beginning, for those of us who've been at the beginning of ICANN 10 or 11 years ago, you know, there was a lot of talk about that. I mean, you know, a lot of things come back, and so that's part of the reasoning for this. Yeah.
And it's not a bad thing that they come back, because needs and pressures and requirements change. But it is extremely frustrating for, at the end of a working group's production and presentation life, that it gets all this old crap dished up to it that A, it didn't know about, or B, it should have known about, or C, it actually looked at, and we have to go through a huge amount of effort to say, yes, we know, yes, we did, and, you know, Mary Jane told us about that. That's messy. Let's get encapsulated in very definite terms how that can be avoided in something as important as the Charter.
And a final point...
So
This is kind of...
Not to belabor it, a final point is that at the beginning of ICANN it was okay, it was a young organization. Now we're a decade old, 11, right? You know, we have baggage, we have history. We need to keep that in mind.
This is Ken. If I might take a shot at summarizing all that, because I was questioning and confused. I think I'm less confused. I appreciate the extra discussion.
Look, our work is done. We have Ken less confused. This is fine.
It strikes me that Section 2.1 is where we want to beef up and explain the value of the history and the commitment to reflect that wherever possible and to how much extent it's known in the archives, and a certain amount of research should always be done in trying to develop that material, link it, and document it in Section 2.1. I think that's the sense of what I was getting. And if we could write that into 2.1, it sounds like we would capture both Sabaya's and Cheryl's points there. And then in 2.5, we should probably change that to just Charter Document Change History, because that was really just intended to, whenever you make a change to the Charter itself, you should document it. And we might even provide that little template that we've been using now in a lot of the staff documents, which, as Sabaya pointed out, it just has a place for...
It's
a change control method.
Yeah, is hugely important.
Yes. Super.
And, that's great.
Did that help?
And that's why I think it's two things, not three. Yeah. Mm.
Yes, it's two things. All right, I'm going to go on mute again.
Okay. So if we move then on to the last part of the document, which is just background. And here we just need to record, like, how this document was developed, what discussions were held, and, you know, provide the history of how this document came together. As well, that revisions, you know, will and can be made and, you know, should be directed to staff to see what the procedure is for that, the applicability. And then here we have as well the amendments and revisions of this document, which... Where I already forgot to include a version of this version, so I'll do it for the next one. So this is the whole document. So the question is now, do we already want to take it from the top, or we just include these changes that we've discussed now and leave it then for the next call, where we hopefully will have some more people on the call, and then run through the whole document, hopefully with the aim of being able to finalize it.
Well,
my
preference is for the latter, because we're not going to gain anything by not doing it with a larger group. What's everyone else think?
Fine. You know, I mean, I'm also if it's a difficult topic like decision making, it's best to wait for everybody. But if there's any other topics that are not that are easy to, you know, deal with, then we could. But otherwise, I leave it.
Yonan?
Yeah, I had some difficulties to hear actually what Cheryl and Sabaya said, but I think that we have 15 minutes time and we have to do the decision making in a larger group anyway, so I would prefer that we do it in a larger group. Now we have 13 minutes left.
Yeah,
okay, that's pretty much what I said.
Yeah, but Giannis, that's exactly where I think getting some draft wording so that the larger group can chew it over and discuss it is so important, which is what Ken and Mariko are going to be doing.
Yes. Maybe I missed some parts of the thing due to audio problems, but of course, having some wording, I'm like, we cannot start from scratch. That's basically clear.
So what I'll do then is we'll produce an updated version and send it out to the list, strongly encouraging everyone that this is, you know, getting close to final and that everyone is really encouraged to carefully review it, share our comments on the list, so that on the next meeting we can have a complete read-through and hopefully get right close to a final version of this document.
Mm-hmm.
Does everyone agree with that approach?
Yep.
Well, as we don't have Jay Scott on the call, I'm just presuming that we'll have our next call next Wednesday, same time.
Mm-hmm.
Does it work
yep.
at least for the people on the call now?
Yep, same time, same place.
Yep, sounds okay with me.
We'll just confirm with Jay Scott that it works for him as well. So with that, we can finish 10 minutes early. Isn't that great?
All right. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Thanks,
oh,
again.
Thank you.
Bye. Thanks, Marika.
Thanks.